the Sun on WLRN tells the stories of South Florida. I'm Alicia Zuckerman. One of our contributors came to us with this idea to spend 4 days traveling around the canals of Miami-Dade County in a canoe. He's not someone who's particularly well qualified to do this. He had almost no experience on the water. He was looking for an isolated urban adventure. For better or worse, we at WLRN had other ideas. We followed him on the air, online, on Twitter, and on Facebook. We interrogated him about his intentions and insights into the canals. Basically, we wouldn't leave this guy alone. Now, 2 weeks after completing his journey, here's Terrence Cantarella telling his own story.
Everyone said I would need a gun. I already had the canoe. I bought it off Craigslist from some guy named Dell in Hollywood for $150. Is it stable, I asked. Dell shrugged, then offered to throw in a life vest. So I strapped the canoe to the roof of my car and named it Calypso, after the ship of explorer Jacques Cousteau, my childhood idol. But I couldn't explore the world's oceans like Jacques. I don't have that kind of time or money. Instead, I took a week off work to circumnavigate Miami-Dade County via the canals. It would take 4 days. I would sleep on the banks, under bridges, in parks, in vacant lots, wherever I could find. I was warned about what I'd run into. Corpses, alligators, toxic sludge, criminals, crazies, chupacabras. But I wanted a bad journey and a great story. I wanted to come home sunburnt, starving, and with some kind of infection. I packed a few supplies, but no luxuries. No tent, no blanket, not much food, and no gun. I launched from Biscayne Bay, near Northeast 70th Street, and paddled west along the Little River. At Manatee Bend Park, I waited under the coconut palms for sea cows that never showed up. I carried my canoe around a dam in Little Haiti, tied off in El Portal, then rested at an Indian burial mound under oak trees draped in Spanish moss. I'd read online that the site harbors an ancient Indian curse. I sat for a while, trying to absorb the energy, then paddled on. In West Little River, the canal turned gritty. I passed crumbling bungalows and saw disheveled men curled up on mattresses under bridges. Three strangers waved me down from their yard and gave me beer. They said they never see anyone on these canals. As night approached, I used my paddle as a rudder and let the wind push me westward into Hialeah. I pulled up the canoe behind a row of houses, lay down inside, and stared at the stars. I spent the night shivering, but happy to be on this vagabond journey. I'd been searching for a local adventure like this for years, but hikes, bike rides, and snorkel trips never seemed very exciting. Without danger and unpredictability, where's the adventure? On day two, I went ashore for Cuban coffee and guava pastries. The Little River Canal ends at Okeechobee Road. I carried my canoe across 12 lanes of traffic, looking like a confused balsero, and slid into the Miami Canal on the other side. I saw a small woman standing in her garden in the industrial town of Medley. She waved me over. I climbed a 10-foot stone wall to her trailer, and we drank stale coffee out of an old jar and chatted by the water. Her name was Bessie. She said she was 82, alone, and glad for the company. Her brother had lived next door but died a couple of years ago. She showed me paintings he made of Florida landscapes, gave me tomatoes and a papaya from her tree, and made me promise to come back one day. If Miami's canals could take human form, I decided, they would look and sound just like Bessie. Weathered, affable, and lonely. That night, I crawled through a thicket of mangroves in Miami Springs. I fell asleep beside the water, thinking about Bessie. On day three, I crossed a dam into the Miami River and paddled past rusted freighters, tugboats, and shipping containers stacked along the shore. I fought high winds on the Blue Lagoon under the Dolphin Expressway, then stopped to rest at an abandoned building. It was 10 stories, gutted and covered in graffiti. A Miami Herald photographer named Mike called me on my cell phone. He wanted to come take pictures. When he arrived at the deserted building, Mike set his camera down on a concrete ledge. We talked by the water a short distance away. About 10 minutes later, we looked back and saw a guy creeping off with the $7,000 camera. Mike shouted. The guy ran. Then Mike ran too. I watched the thief dive through a hole in a chain-link fence, hop in a car, and peel off. Mike jumped in his own car and squealed off into the distance after him. I felt bad for Mike. I was on edge now, too. But this journey had finally become an adventure. I got back in the canoe and paddled south. I stopped to eat grilled snapper at a waterside shack on Calle Ocho. The food was terrible, but there was beer, loud music, and pretty waitresses in tight pants. A perfect spot, I thought, for a canal man fresh from a heist. After that, I moved on and found a small wooded area east of the Palmetto Expressway. It was dark when I pulled the canoe up a steep bank and settled down for the night. 15 minutes later, the raccoons found me. First there was one, and then there were three. I threw rocks, stomped my feet, and shone a flashlight in their eyes, but they kept coming at me. One climbed a tree and screamed at me from above. I wondered if this was the ancient curse of the burial mound manifesting itself. I moved to a clearing in the trees. I used my backpack to prop myself up in the canoe and spent the night hurling rocks at shadows. On day 4, my last day on the canals, I stopped to bandage my blisters near Bird Road, then navigated into the Coral Gables waterway. Miami's ragged canals opened into wide, coral rock canyons lined with boats, bougainvillea, and million-dollar homes that I can only dream about living in. A man named JB gave me beer and sandwiches on a high ridge behind his house and joked that he wanted to be buried at this spot because he loved it so much. Then I floated downstream, almost to the end of my 30-mile journey, and took a nap in the canoe under a tamarind tree at Cartagena Circle. When I woke up, I left the canals behind and paddled across Biscayne Bay. I made landfall in Coconut Grove an hour later, a little weary and a little depressed that my adventure was over. A crowd, alerted by coverage on these airwaves, had gathered at a restaurant there to welcome me back. They asked questions about the trip, but I didn't have a lot to say. I'd basically spent 4 days paddling around Miami, drinking beer, not sleeping, and searching for places to pee. But I returned with the love of Miami's forgotten canals. In a city that tries to project a pretty image, the canals remain refreshingly unpolished. They're not pristine, but they're not junk-filled cesspools either. They're a surprisingly quiet world where time moves slower, a convenient escape in the heart of urban Miami. To get there, all you need is an old canoe, raccoon spray, and a blanket. You don't need much money, you don't need much time, and you don't need a gun.
That was Terrence Cantarella. You can see a timeline of Terrence's journey with tweets, photos, and video at WLRNunderthesun.org. And there's also an interactive map there. I produce Under the Sun with Dan Gretsch and Trina Sargalski. Thanks also to the Whole Canoe Project team. Sammy Mack, Ariana Prothero, Kelly Mitchell, Danny Rivero, Tasneem Shama, Ashley Lopez, Jose Iglesias, and Mike Allen, who never got his camera back. I'm Alicia Zuckerman.